I will read Hebrews chapter 12, or chapter 3, from verses 12 to 16, as well as from verse 19. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. But never forget the warning. Today you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him as Israel did when they rebelled. The importance of this message is can hardly be explained. The reason we can't overemphasize this message is because the scriptures has said something like, do not harden your heart. The scripture we have just read warns us against the danger of unbelief and rebellion. And these vices appear to be some of the symptoms of an insensitive heart. So as we examine the subject, we are going to discover that the whole idea of not knowing God's mind is not unconnected to our insensitivity to the Spirit. God is always transmitting his mind. It is we that are not always receiving. And the challenge is for us to receive what God is transmitting. God is always transmitting his mind to us. It is we who are not always receiving. The transmitter is sound. The receiver is the one that is faulty. I will do some practical things. I'll talk about some areas that might help us. How many of us, when we got born again, did not need anybody to teach us how to hear from God? You are hearing the voice of God. When you got born again, nobody told you how God speaks, how to hear, but you just know when God is telling you. I mean, talk to me. You knew that God was talking to you. You woke up in the morning, you pray, you said, I was reading my Bible and God taught me something today. How many of us went through that? Or you said, somehow I wanted to go somewhere and I felt something in me. I think God didn't want me to go there. Then suddenly the man just arrived. Or I heard something happen. How many of us experienced that? Then over time we find ourselves losing that consciousness. Over time we find out that we are no longer enjoying those things. It is not God that has stopped transmitting. It is we that have stopped receiving. Is that okay? Right away, we are just transmitting what I'm teaching now from a computer, and it has a little remote here, and I do not have to be there, and then I use the remote on the computer in response, and it's transmitted here. Similarly, there are television signals in this room, true or false? Yes. There are radio signals, there are data here, so that if you are connected to the internet, you can go on the internet right now. There are images that are all downloaded here now that are here in this room. We can download them to our systems when we are properly called, when our receivers are okay and we can receive from the transmitters. Many years ago, I heard a story of a BBC transmission. They air a particular program. 3 years after that, somebody bought a new set, a new unit of television, and he turned on to it in Britain, and he was receiving that program. And then he called the BBC office and said, you promised this program will not air anymore. Why are you airing this program again? And the man, they replied him, they did not air the program, that since 3 years now, we didn't air the program. And then they had to go do some research on his system and discover that there were certain components that came with that television that was so powerful that we even recover signals of things that have been transmitted some few years back. When you hear Jesus says that the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, that is what it means. That once it's there, once it has come out, they remain alive, they don't die. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? And then when you hear also that you will account for every word is accountable. That's why you have recorders. You have television, you have radios, you have different recorders. Every word is accountable. We can account for them because they are all in the air. and everything transmitted is already in the air, and will remain there for as long as a person decides to go back and pull it out. When you have the gadgets, you can pull back something that have been transmitted. That experiment in the case of BBC showed that things that have been spoken are very much alive. So God is always transmitting. The problem is we are not always receiving. And that is what we need to check up with our receiver. So I want to address our receiver today. In verse 19 of the passage we just read above, it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief is the foundation for missing out on the promise of God. The more sensitive we are, the less unbelief we have, and the more progressive we become in picking spiritual signals. It's a shame that we still have to be teaching this at this point, because we should not be taught. Once you get born again, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, and they hear it, and they follow. But in any case, we have to do that now. And the less unbelief we have, the more progressive we become in picking spiritual signals. We cannot enjoy any meaningful relationship with God without being sensitive to Him. Without being sensitive to Him, we can't enjoy any meaningful relationship with God. So I'm going to be talking about the symptoms of a hardened heart. Now the Bible has warned us, be very careful so that your heart be not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know what that means is that every act of disobedience, every act of rebellion, every act of sin or whatever we get into adds a layer of callousness on our consciences and on our spirits to pick spiritual signals. That is why as a child of God, you must never have carryover. If it requires you don't sleep, after something has gone wrong in your life and you don't sleep through the night, don't sleep until you remove that layer. I've learned that by experience. Or if it requires, don't sleep until you regain your sensitivity back. Otherwise, you become hardened to it. How many of us are used to farming here? Nobody. Okay, only very few. You could let somebody beside you examine, just turn your palm to that person. Turn your palm and then see what happens to his palm. What's your testimony? It's very hardened. I'm sure for those of us who are creamy palms, all of those jelly palms, you dare not handle holes. Because if you handle that for 30 minutes, there will be blisters all over the place. Now, how many of you have those hardened palms? Let me see. Okay, that palm is hardened. What happened to you when you started? Was it that hardened?
No.
What happened? You developed process of time. Then you had some blisters.
Yes.
Water came out of it. And then the place became callous. Then the skin there became dead. And then another one came up, it died. And then suddenly you now hold the same hole for 3 hours, 4 hours. You hold cutlasses and nothing is happening anymore. Because over time, the skin layer over there began to die and die and died until the place became totally callous and became insensitive to such aggression and forceful use. Is anybody understanding?
Yes.
And that's what happens, that what our brother was talking with about today is generally, is naturally what a child of God should have gotten into. But we run into this trouble because we do not understand that the longer it takes us to remove the layer of sin and rebellion and disobedience in our lives, the harder it becomes and the more hardened we are to spiritual things. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? I'm going to be sharing some personal examples with you. Certain things we think that are not wrong. I was talking with a pastor friend yesterday. I said, do you know that for years back, we don't even touch drugs, not because we believe they were sinful. I mean, we lived 10, 15 years without drugs, and we didn't believe. I remember the first Panadol they gave me, some people were worried and they went to bring a doctor to my house. And I was talking to the doctor. The doctor said, I thought it's a man that I was going to see a man lying on bed. You don't appear like this. They gave me a Panadol to use. I said, Lord, they asked me to use this Panadol. I don't believe it will work. But the doctor is standing on my neck to use it. And with all these nurses, all these sisters and brothers here, I said, I will use it for that. I say, but I don't believe it in Jesus' name. I mean, does that sound like somebody who really understands? So I wasn't. Then I was now asking this pastor yesterday, my friend. I was asking him. I said, so what has happened to us? There's something that happened when we now took in the wrong knowledge. We ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We now became hardened to our spiritual sensitivity and became more alive to drugs. Is anybody understanding me? Even though these things are not necessarily sinful, we say, but they make us insensitive and hardened against God, so that we are no longer as sensitive as we used to be in the spirit. Is anybody following me? I'm going to be telling you something that might shock you, that if Jesus had looked at you, he would look at you right in the face and say, you are hardened. You hardened hearted. How many people do you think you call hardened hearted politicians? Hardened hearted. The one who stole billions and is in EFCC net. Hardened hearted. Evil genius.
Suicide bombers.
They are hardened hearted. But when Jesus looked at his disciples, he told them straight in the face, how long will your heart be hardened? And these were people who left their profession and they were following the master 24/7. So you may get to see later that hardened heart does not mean a man who don't know God. In fact, it may have to do more with you. Let's see some symptoms of hardened heartedness. I need to mention this up front. There is the possibility of being sensitive to God in some areas of our lives while we are hardened in others. Our part is to examine where we might be hardened and seek out why. Find out why are we hardened, and then begin to see how we can break our fallow ground so we can become sensitive in all areas of our lives. Amen. The challenge is, you may be sensitive to God in one area, but you are hardened in another area. So you need to understand that it doesn't mean when we're talking about being hardened, a man may be totally hardened to God, hardened against God. But somebody might not be hardened against God, but is hardened in a particular area, just particular areas of his life where he just finds himself struggling. He doesn't know, he doesn't hear God in those areas anymore, because God has woken you up, has spoken to you severally, and you are no longer, you know, alive in those areas. Let's see Mark chapter 6 from verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh to them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And then what happened? But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. For immediately he talked with them, he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into them. Please, could everybody switch off your phones, please? Thank you. Went into the ship and the wind ceased. And then what happened? And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they what? Considered not the miracle of the loaves. For what happens? What happened? Their hearts were what? Hardened. Now, what has the miracle of the loaves got to do with seeing a spirit and you are crying out? And then he says, seeing the spirit crying out and being surprised that I walk on the sea equals to a hardened heart. Okay, so let me give you the synopsis, the background to this. Jesus, the disciples had tried to, they'd be ministering in a place, and Jesus said, these guys have been with me for 3 days. Why should we send them away empty? Let's feed them now. And they said, there's nothing to feed them with. Even if we spend all our money to buy food here, nothing is here. In any case, we couldn't get to buy in the wilderness. He said, what do you have there? They got a young man who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He took that, he broke it, multiplied, he fed 5,000. We're told 5,000 men. Here is the way every other translator and Bible, you know, scholars interpret that. An average man, wherever you find me, because men are more skeptical than women, true or false. You will know that in your church. You know that in your church, that women respond more. And to every place you see a man, there are four women. You are looking at me as if I'm talking strange. I've been doing this work for many years, even if you don't believe. I pioneer at least not less than 14 different churches. I always had women more than men in my church.
Except here today.
Except here today. Maybe it's a specialized program tailored towards a particular group. And when you say you are calling for pastors, how many of them are in the leader? How many women are in leadership? You see where the challenge is. So an average church has more women than men. So when Jesus was ministering, you find there will be more men, more women than men. And each woman may be carrying two children or whatever. So many Bible scholars have said an average of 15,000, between 10 to 15,000 people were fed that day. Now, he did that with five loaves and two fishes. You know what happened? The people didn't remember that. And so, all of a sudden, they saw somebody walking on the sea, and they saw, and this, he's a spirit. Well, they themselves were spirit, isn't it? But they allowed the fear to overcome them, and then cried out. In fact, when you read the account of Matthew, of this same story, that was where Peter walked on the sea to go to Jesus. Is that okay? If it is you, bid me to come to you. He started going and all that. And then they took him, and then he rebuked the wind, and then he took him in. And they all entered into the ship. The account of John concerning this says, immediately as he entered into it, the ship and the occupants, all of them were translated to the other side. So many supernaturals happened. So in addition to the wind coming down, there was supernatural transfer of this ship and its occupants to the other side. And the people were amazed. The Bible said they were so amazed. They were so surprised. They were really taken aback. They were petrified. They wondered. And then Jesus was now surprised at their hardness of heart. You know what he says? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now look at it. Do you know it takes the same supernatural power to walk on the sea as well as to multiply bread? To multiply bread as well as to walk on the sea. Is it not the same supernatural power? The scripture is now saying these people lost focus. If they were meditating on the fact that, excuse me, do you mean there are five loaves and two fishes? Just a little boy's lunch could feed 15,000 people. How did he do that? Well, this one can do just anything. If they were meditating, if they were considering, if they were thinking on that, they would not be surprised that he was walking on the sea. The reason they were surprised that he walked on the sea, as well as the ship moved over, and they became amazed, as it was, the Bible says, their hearts were hardened. In other words, whenever you are surprised at the supernatural, your heart is hardened. It's not me, they said. I think you're reading in your Bible. See that. So whenever there is fear in your heart, and the fear does not allow you to concentrate on the goodness of God, to consider the things God has brought you through, your heart is hardened. Can anybody relate to that? How many times have we fallen sick, or you felt certain things, and then you're going to say, I'm afraid, please pray for me, pray for me. You need to pray for me. What I'm going through now, I may not survive it. See, bro, I need a lot of prayer now. I don't know what is going to happen. Whenever you find yourself in that position, so that you consider what you are going through as against what God has brought you through in the past, your heart is hardened. Whenever you are shocked and you are amazed at supernatural, and you find yourself, what? How did it all happen? Your heart is hardened. Inability to relate to the supernatural. You see, sometimes when miracles happen, I prayed for people. By the grace of God, in my short life, and I've seen quite some miracles. But when they happen, they say, wow. Some people say, praise God, that's great. I said, thank God. He said, you don't look surprised. You are so casual. And I'm saying, it should just be natural with us to perform miracles if we believe we are supernatural beings inside us. If Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit in you, you didn't hear what he says in Romans chapter 6. If the Spirit, or since the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he will do what? He will quicken. In other words, the power that raised Christ from the dead is strong enough also to quicken anything that is dead around you, including your own body. In other words, if your child is dead and you lay hands, the power in you is able to bring the child back alive. When it happens, you say, I can't believe it. I can't believe what I'm saying. That person just opened his eyes and he began to see. And then we say, I can't believe it. And then we celebrate it. Thank God. It should bless us. We should rejoice when we see those things. We should thank God and give praise to God. But if it surprises you, it's because you are hardened towards spiritual things. Supernatural should be just like that. Say, bro, do you know how I saw it one day? A sister came to me. He said, Pastor, I understand what you are talking about. I said, what happened? He said, do you know in the night, as I was reading the scripture, God just came through and was speaking to me. Yeah, I have never experienced that before. I said, yeah, that's the realm I live. That's the realm you should live. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus was surprised that these people were still surprised. Supernatural should be natural with us. We should be supernaturally natural. It should be supernaturally or naturally supernatural with us. Or naturally supernatural. Natural or supernaturally natural. Whatever. It should not be. Jesus was never surprised that he raised anybody from the dead. He was never surprised. In fact, do you know that Old Testament saints were never surprised when anything happened concerning their ministry? They were never surprised. You remember Elisha? You see him surprised when he performed any of those miracles? In fact, when his servant was going with him, and then he said, alas, my master, look at these people, they're coming to take us. He just, you remember what he did? What did he do? Please, Lord, just open his eyes. Lord, please, open his eyes so that he may see. And then the man said, oh, I can see the host, he says. So, well, who are you looking for? He said, we're looking for Elisha, the prophet. Is okay. Love, you just become blind. They say, okay, follow me. I'll show you the person you're looking for. Let's go. I took them to the center of the city, and then the king, I said, Lord, open their eyes. And then he said, this is Elisha. And then they were surrounded by the armies of Israel. They were in the city. He said, so what do you say? My master, we are going to kill. He said, no, you caught these people with their sword, right, by their side. You don't need to kill them. Just let them go back and tell their master their experience, and they will never come again. That was the last time those people came to try Israel. I was telling my friend yesterday, there was a doctor from many years ago. He used to be a Muslim. He later got born again. I went to Mokwa to hold a crusade. And then he said, evangelist, he said, and then when he met me, he said, there is nothing called miracle for a barren woman. He told the people, he said, there's nothing called miracle for barren women. And then they said, doctor, how can you speak like that? He said, look, you know what happened? He said, the husbands of those women have low sperm count. And when the women go to pastor, the pastors are very effective. And they have strong sperm count. They pregnant the women, and that's the miracle. And so he didn't believe anything supernatural. And then when they came and they said, evangelist, this man needs help. We don't understand how to talk with him. So I said, Doc, they say you don't believe in supernatural. So he explained his theory to me. I said, it's okay. Now, we're not going to pray for barren women. You don't believe in supernatural, and there's no way. Are you sick, or do you have, he said, he doesn't have any problem. I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay my hands on you. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to be blind now. By tomorrow, when you have been blind for 24 hours, you come back to me, I'll pray for you, you will see again. You believe supernatural. He said, no, he never read like that. I said, okay, do you have any procedure? Are you operating on anybody tomorrow? He said, yes, I have two people I need to operate. I said, give me your right hand. Are you right handed or left hand? He said, right hand. He said, give me your right hand. I said, I'm going to pray for you. This right hand is going to be with that. When you can't operate tomorrow, come back here. And I'm going to pray for you. The hand will be restored. I said, we don't have to go that far. I said, that's the extra. That's how far we have to go to prove to you that there is supernatural. Yes. Now, if you think it's a big deal to pray for him to be blind, for him to see, if you become afraid to take up such challenges, you are hardened. And if you are hearing me saying that, you say, I'm not all sensitive in every area. There are areas that I'm hardened that I'm begging God every day. Sometimes I stay awake in the night, I'm saying, Lord, please, I need to be more sensitive in these areas. It's not that I'm made up. What I'm telling you now is what God has been dealing with me for the last 2 months. Is that okay? So it's not as if I have gotten over it. But as God is getting us through, He's bringing us to a point where we can become all sensitive. Amen. Okay, let's see Mark, the same Mark chapter 13. I mean chapter 8 from verse 13. Now he left them, he says, and he left them and entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. These people are bread. They forgot to take bread. Neither are they any in the ship with them, more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. These were hardened people. And when Jesus knew, he said to them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not? Now, these are symptoms. Okay? These are symptoms of hardened heartedness. Okay? He says what? He says, perceive ye not, neither understand? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets of fragments took ye up? And they said to him, 12. Have ye your heart yet what? Hardened? Having ears, hear ye not? Having eyes? And then, he says, do ye not remember? Then go on, he says, and when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Now, Jesus is saying, okay, see, look at it. I fed 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I fed it to 5,000 people. And they were doubting. They were still afraid. They were still scared. Now, and later he took 7 loaves. Excuse me, please. If 5 could feed 5,000, shouldn't 7 be able to feed more than that? Simple arithmetic. But they won't understand. Jesus still took 7 again and fed 4,000. You will have thought that a set of people who saw him fed 5,000 with 5 loaves, fed 4,000 with 7 loaves, and saw him walk on the sea, to the point that he entered into the sea, the wind stopped, and the sea, ship and the occupants were all transported to the other side supernaturally. You will have thought that when he said, beware of the living of the Pharisees, if they had 1 loaf of bread, 12 of them should not be worried that one cannot feed them. So Jesus began to give us some symptoms of this. He said, perceive ye not? If you find it difficult to perceive spiritual things, you are hardened. He said, neither you understand. If you find it difficult to understand spiritual things, even after it has been explained over and again, and understanding is a problem to you, you have a hardened heart. You are hardened in that area. He says, If you find it difficult to see spiritual things, I don't want to make utter call, but I can simply ask you, since you've been reading your Bible now, when last did you see new things other than the places you have been reading? How many of us have a habit of marking our Bibles, putting marks when something blesses you? All right. How many of us discovered that when you go back to read that passage, quite often, you see exactly what you saw the other time? What you mark there is what you always see. The note you put beside the Bible is what you always see. Very often, if you take a brand new Bible and you begin to read that place, if you have spiritual understanding, you will see new things. But if you don't get benefit from it except you read your old Bible. How many of us discover that?
Is there right?
If suddenly they give you a new Bible, you say, I don't like I forgot my Bible in the car. I don't like using any other Bible. Because if I just open my Bible, I know how to get what I want. I know how to reach it. I know what it is. So that your understanding is all limited to the things you mark there. You don't see anything new. Now, the one way to defeat that is stop marking your Bible. Or get a new Bible you didn't mark. Every time you read it, you will find something new there. Before I understood this principle, see, this is what I do. Whenever I mark the Bible, the first time I come there, I will mark it with black barrel. The next time, I will circle it with red barrel. The next time, when I see something new again, I put a kind of cube on it. The next time I come, there are four times when I see a new thing, I put star. So each of them represent the revelation I got. And at the time, I said, this is not how to do it. This word should so enter into you that every time you get into it, there should be something new you are seeing. When you find it difficult to understand, to see new lights, to perceive new realities in your world, you are hardened against that. How many of us can't you? He said, don't you remember? If you find it difficult to remember scriptures, find it difficult to remember the good things God has done for you while you are going through crisis, it's because you are hardened in that area. How many of us always complain we don't have enough good memories? We don't remember things. Well, I'm an expert in that. I don't remember even my children's birthday. I don't even remember my birthday. If I don't set alarm to ring, I won't remember my wife's birthday. I don't remember birthdays. So I usually set alarm to ring the 6 a.m. of that day. So that it reminds me, I can remember that she's marking her birthday and I can say happy birthday or something. So I forget a lot. And if you are giving me a date, you say you are marrying so and so day, I say, tell my wife. She doesn't keep diaries. But she will remember the day when that day comes. She doesn't forget anything. I usually say to her, I don't know how your head has not blown. You have too many things. Decongest your head. I happen not to be good at remembering things. But when I pick my scripture, when I want to talk about scriptures, I will remember. Now, how many of you think that you find it difficult to remember scriptures, but you know the person that won the last 5 years premiership? You remember the names of all the people. How many of you belong to Chelsea? Oh, Man U. Hey, you see that? You see that? It's Man U. Even pastors do Man U. Now, the same person that can't remember scriptures, he knows the name of all the players of Man U. He knows in the last 10 years the premiership, how they won, and he say this other one, they had a runner off against the runner off was Chelsea, and we played at Moscow. And you hear them say, We played at Moscow, and then the last one we played against Barcelona, and then we played this. In fact, do you know when we almost called? There's a young man in my house when Man U lost the last time. He didn't talk to anybody for 2 days. I saw him, he was just going to work like that. I was driving his car. I said, Shehu, I said, how are you? He said, hey, fine, sir. I said, they say your team lost, and any day they lose like that, they won't talk to anybody. He said, sorry, sir. So for 2 days, he didn't talk to anybody. The same person, you ask him this, and he cannot remember. I say, I don't, because he's sensitive in the area of Man U. But when it comes to the things of God, he's hardened. The same person who says he doesn't remember things, that same person, when he goes to the area, you get to him, maybe he's a businessman. He's so sensitive to, when you mention that, he can just tell you this. He say, look, this, if you put this together. He doesn't consult with any lexicon. He doesn't consult with anything. He can download everything to you. And then you say, how much do you sell this? He said, no. We've taken supplies from you 3 times. The first time we took supply, we bought it 59. The second time we bought it 55. And the other one, it was 56. You can't, and then he didn't have to refer to file. He didn't refer to file. He just remembered exactly. But when you ask the scripture, you say, I don't remember the scripture. You are sensitive to the area of your business and you are hardened to spiritual things. Is anybody knowing the... You see, I'm trying to complement what our brother was sharing in the morning. Part of the reasons you don't hear God's word is not because God is not transmitting. It is our receiver that is faulty. There is no way I could have used this projector or this camera as a receiver, hoping to download CNN inside this room. It's not going to work. You are in agreement?
Yes.
There's no way I will use this laptop as a receiver, except I'm on the internet, and I now go to CNN site, and I decide to download their video, and maybe I click on their live streaming. I cannot receive CNN on my laptop, except I configure the laptop to receive that. Is anybody understanding me? The same thing. All the things God is transmitting to us, God is always speaking. It is we that are not always hearing. And unless you are sensitive to Him, you become hardened. You are either hardened to God or you are sensitive. Is that okay?
Yes.
Now consider some of other symptoms. Inability to perceive spiritual things. Inability to perceive spiritual things is part of the symptoms of hardened heart. Inability to remember scriptures or the goodness of God and other spiritual matters. Every time you say, did you remember that you had these challenges? And God say, my brother, I don't remember. You say, you remember the verse of scriptures? And then sometimes you say, hey, there's a verse in scripture. I think the Bible says, somebody said to me, the Bible says, make hay while the sun shine. I said, where did he say that? I said, where did he say that? I said, oh, I thought the Bible says that. Another one said, even the Bible says, heaven help those who help themselves. I said, which passage of the Bible? He said, no, Pastor, maybe you didn't. I said, well, this same Bible, I've read it over and over several times. Tell me where he says, heaven help those who help themselves. He said, okay, maybe that's the meaning of that place. I said, which passage? So that if you don't understand spiritual things, it's an evidence of hardened heart. Inability to remember. Number 5. Inability to see with the eyes of faith. Ability to relate to the natural world more than supernatural. It's an evidence of hardness of heart. In other words, when you have the challenge of your inability to relate to the supernatural, you relate to the natural more than supernatural, you have a hardened heart. God gave me a shocker, I think a year or two ago. I was sharing with my friend last night. I was reading the scriptures, one of these passages, where is that? I think 1 Kings 7, where Elisha was prophesying. He said, by this time tomorrow, a flour of wheat will be sold for this, a measure of wheat will sell for that, and then the head of camel will sell for this at the gate of Samaria. And then one of the lords on whom the king leaned, who understood the circumstance, the situation that the nation was going through at that time, said, even if God opens the windows and the doors of heaven, these things cannot happen. Because our situation is precarious, is deadly, is dangerous. Forget about it, prophet. And the prophet said, oh, you doubt the word of God to that point. You heard what that guy said this morning. You see, when you begin to misappropriate God's word or inaccurately relate to God's word, what you are doing is to put God's faithfulness to trial. And once you put God's faithfulness to trial, one thing at the end of the day, when the coast is clear, God will prove that He is faithful. And I shared this with you last month. You see, God's ultimate will always come to pass. His subsidiary wills, which have to do with His instruments, may change. I want someone to deliver these people from the hand of the Philistines. Then he will raise a Samson, he will raise a Gideon, he will raise Othniel, he will raise so many people along the way. Until he raised Saul, all of them were all fighting against the Philistines. It was only when he found David that Philistines were forever silenced. Is anybody following what I'm saying? So as I was reading that, and I was saying, oh, I said, this is ridiculous. I was laying on my couch, and I was reading that. I said, this is ridiculous. How can a man open his mouth and say, even if God, I said, the man went too far. He carried his unbelief too far. Even if God opened the windows of heaven, these things cannot be. I said, he took his unbelief too far. And God said, what if you are the person? I said, I will never. I can never doubt God to that point. God said, what if I tell you that by this time tomorrow you are going to become a multi-billionaire and you're going to have a brand new car, you have about 5 cars in your compound, 2 for you, one for your wife, one for your children, one for ministry, and buses for this and this, and do this, and I just put all this. One for your journey, one for the traveling around town, and all that. What if I tell you that? I tell you that all the ministries you want to help, you have the money ready in your account, and by the time you're waking up, by this afternoon, you are going to become a multi-billionaire. And you will have money, you will never have to look for money anymore. You just focus on ministry. So if I tell you that, what will you say? I said, yes, if you say so, I believe. am I stupid? I'm just reading somebody that said, even if God opens the windows of heaven, that these things can't be. And you're asking me, will I? I can't repeat that mistake. I said, yes, Lord. He said, do you believe it or you are just saying it? I said, yes, Lord. The Holy Spirit asked me again, you believe it with your heart or you just believe? I said, Lord, the truth is that if you really ask me, I said, in my head, I don't know how it's going to be possible. But because I say, help that my own belief. I believe. I just believe. God said, there you are. You are not different from that man. When you are able to see your circumstances greater than what I am capable of doing, you are hardened. And then the Lord began now to say, okay, he said, let me show you one way I can do it. He said, what time is it now? It was about towards evening. He said, what if somebody that you ministered to before just mentioned you to the president? And I think that was 2 years ago. Yarado was still there. He said, you know your president is sick. I said, yes, Lord. He said, what if... He said, my will is to heal him. If he makes contact with you, I'm going to use you to heal him. I said, okay, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. God told me some things. And then he says, what if I raise somebody to send for you now? And then the president sent for you, and you go there, and then you minister to him, and instantly he becomes healed. So what happens? I said, he will be excited, and I will be excited too. He said, and then the president says he wants to do something for you. And I said, no, if he gives me government money, I won't collect it, because that will be stealing, and I can't be a part of it. If he gives me any from any vote that is in, he said, is that the only way he can give you money? He said, supposing he gives you an oil allocation and asks you to carry 100 million barrel of oil out of the country and give you 1 month or 2 months to deliver, then you know you're not, because I know how to do a little of that business. He said, you know you are not going to go to high sea. You won't look for any. You just walk into Nikon and then make one or two phone call and call people. They come into that place and you sit down and sit there. And then you can seal the deal there and they will credit your account. There are foreign companies that are already, they have their vessels on the high sea. They're just looking for who will sell their oil to them, crude oil for them to buy. Japanese, Chinese, they're all there. I know some people right now, they have floating vessels just waiting for who is ready to sell. He says, so you know you are not going to labor. He says, okay, what happens if you are able to sell that 200? I say, on a single barrel alone, you are going to earn not less than $13 to $16 million on just two million barrels. So if I have 100 of them, another, and I have to sell within the month, I said, then by this time tomorrow I'm a billionaire. He said, so it's possible to say, if I tell you, by this time tomorrow you'll be a billionaire. So it's possible. He said, you see how much unbelief you have in your life. He said, I just showed you one way that I can bring that thing to pass. So it's easy to say, if God said, I'm going to say a bag of rice to you, it's easier to believe for maybe a headache than it is to believe for cancer. But you need to practice how to deal with cancer by dealing with headache. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. And now, God is saying, if he says, by this time tomorrow, somebody will bring a bag of rice to you. I said, amen. If anybody can say, a bag of rice, 10,000 or 12,000, a bag of rice. I can believe for that. But he said, by this time tomorrow, you'll be a multi-billionaire. He said, hallelujah. He said, do you believe it? I said, Lord, you know I believe. He said, how do you believe? When God began to probe into my belief, it fell like a pack of cards. Because I knew that, according to my head, I was able to relate with my physical condition. much more than I could relate to the supernatural. And I come with that word to you. If I tell you that by this time tomorrow you will own your private building in Metama or in Wuse here. If I tell you that by this time tomorrow, this hotel where we are now will become yours. You have the money to buy it and the owner will be willing to buy. Okay, I can see some people laughing, some kind of thing. You see where the problem is? You see the kind of laughter you're having now was the kind of laughter the people were laughing when Jesus got to Gaius' house and said, don't worry, the girl is sleeping. It's not the Bible. People that were crying. It made it like Jesus said, he's sleeping. Just now, they shoot over from tears and they started laughing. The Bible said they laugh him to scorn. No, whenever I read that place, I'll just put my Bible down. I'll be exactly there. I say, so what were you doing? Were you laughing or you were crying or you were pretending? What was happening here? But they laughed him to scorn simply because when it came to spiritual things, they were hardened to it. Quite often, most of us are hardened. Now, I've just given you an illustration. Now, how many of us think that we are not hardened to spiritual things? This is why to commit the entire prophecy and God's word to your hand is a dangerous mission. It's very risky. You heard the brother just said it this morning. That is operating risk. It's a very risky venture to hand over with this amount of unbelief in you. Inability to see with your spiritual sight is another reason. Then another thing is wrong consideration. He said, for they consider not. Wrong consider, that is inability to consider. The word consider means to meditate on. It means to think on. It means to focus on. They did not focus on the right things. That is what the Bible called a wandering heart. A wandering heart. A heart that does not focus on the things God has done. You heard the illustration this brother gave this morning. God told him, this is it. I am the one that gave you this woman, and I know how long it will take to break her. Don't make any attempt of doing this, so it will backfire. But you see, God forgot that he made a promise 5 years ago, or God has changed his mind. And he went behind God and tried to circumvent process. Is anybody following? And these are the things that hardened us against God. We become hardened against God because of wandering hearts. We keep wandering on. Now, let me ask you this question. What will have happened if when Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, then later he fed 4,000. Then later he walked on the sea to the point that the sea, the wind became calm, entered into it, and the ship and the occupant were transported into it. If they were thinking of this miracle, would they have been surprised when he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? And this part of the problem we talked about last month, spiritual language. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What did they say? They say it's because we did not carry bread. When you misunderstand what God is saying, you are not likely to interpret correctly, and prophecy may not fulfill, and it is not God's fault. Rebellion. Rebellion. When you see rebellion and lack of understanding. Lack of understanding of spiritual matter, rebellion and resistance against the will of God. See, look at John. James chapter 21, you remember what happened to Peter? After Jesus has resurrected. This was the man who swore the other day. He swore to Jesus Christ. He said, whatever happened, I swear to you, I'm going to go to prison for you. And then when Jesus said, bro, take it easy. But you're going to deny me. It's okay, for saying that, I will even die for you. By that evening, he had already denied he didn't know him. And then you think that the man had recovered fully, but Jesus has resurrected. And he told the guys, I'm not asking you to follow me, but you see, I have a family to cater for. My mother-in-law is there with me, and my wife, and my children. I'm not going to do this. See, if Jesus comes, just tell him that I will be back very soon. I go a fishing. And the next thing, the man was gone. And do you know what happened? Immediately, he took 7 people along. That's the power of leadership. If you're a man who that people look up to, you must be careful how you use your influence. If not, people will follow you even to do the wrong thing. Because of the kind of influence you have over their life, they will follow you even to do the wrong thing. The 7 of them say, we will go with you. If you, that always talk, always, You walk on the sea with him before you started sinking. Everything, you are the one asking. This is the spokesman. And all of a sudden, you want to go fishing. If it's not the will of God, it should be the will of Jesus. Let's follow him. So they followed him. Until Jesus came back and said, hey guys, you've been telling on that. Do you have anything? The man was now hardened because of rebellion against the will of God. He was becoming hardened. And what finally did he say to him later? He said, the day is coming that you will operate at a particular point where you don't want to go. Places you don't want to go, somebody else will lead you there. And I'm leading you to that point. They were hardened to that point. If God shows you how hardened your heart is, you may be shocked. If you had told me that I don't believe in supernatural, if you had told me that I don't believe in miracles, to the point I could doubt God, I will say you are a false prophet. Get out of my face. But when God used a simple illustration to tell me that by this time tomorrow you become a multimillionaire and your need will be this thing, do you believe that? I was confronted with, because you know you can deceive other people, you can't deceive God. Let's see what are the causes of hardness of heart. Now, take heed, we read before in chapter 3, verse 12 of Hebrews. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, and even lest there be any in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God, but as one another day, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Number one, sin can bring hardness of heart. We all know that too well, that the more you get into wrongdoing, the more callous you are to it, you no longer feel that. Now, even in sin, but can I tell you another thing? It comes, our hardness and softness and sensitivity comes in various degrees, various categories. Can I explain that to you? How many of us were drunkards before we, maybe drinker or drunker before you got born again? All right. Now, how is it to think about drinking now? You don't even think about it. You are so hardened because you don't think about it. You are hardened. See, let me tell you, this is one of the keys. You are hardened to anything you don't think about. Anything you don't consider, you become hardened to them. So you are hardened to it. You don't think about drinking. You don't think about going to party. I mean, you are hardened to it. Okay? How about money? How about money? You have opportunity to believe God for money, or to go and talk to brother A or brother B. Which of them is easier for you? Talk to me, somebody. Do you see the difference? While you are hardened to alcohol, you are sensitive to money. And there are some of us that you don't give money to keep. How many of you ever borrowed money from people? You are giving money to keep, or you borrowed the money and you ought to return it back, and you didn't. You have even gotten some other money, you spend it and forget to even go and return that money. No, don't raise up your hand. So the same man who will not think of alcohol, who will not go to party, who will not think of going to party or anything, that same man who is hardened to those things is so sensitive to money that even when you give him money, he's unfaithful with money. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Number two, unbelief. Every time you find yourself doubting God's word, you are hardening yourself against God. You are hardening yourself against God. Because God only works with belief system. See, in the New Testament, in the entire Old Testament, there's so much work to do. You shall do this, thou shall do that. You will carry your offering to a particular point where the Lord chooses his name and all that. In the New Testament, there's only one work that you are to do. It's called the work of faith, to believe. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom the Father has sent. That's all. That's the only work in the New Testament. It's the work of faith. You do the work of faith, to believe. And whatever work you do in the New Testament that is not a proceed of your faith is not acceptable, because whatever is not of faith is what?
Sin.
You said it. That's what the Bible says. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So unbelief is a major thing. Number three, loss of focus. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark. You see, focus. The moment, what did he say concerning this disciple? Why were their hearts yet hardened? Somebody talk to me. Why were their hearts yet hardened? He said what? For they what? They considered not. They did not think on. They did not think on. They did not meditate on. They did not focus on the things that God has done. They did not focus on what God has done. I bet you that some of the times you have had some of the most powerful faith manifested in your life has been because you remember that God who came through for this will come through for that. I mean, is anybody understanding me?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's one prayer my wife always say when there's some challenge, say God will not put us to shame. He said the other time it was even worse than this, and God came through. It's not this one. He said this one, hey, he will do it. And I always say, I said, that's good. That's one of the things that can spur off your faith. If you can remember that he did this, he did this, he did this, you will always have faith to believe for that. But once you forget that God had done all of it, and that's the problem with us. When we are going through certain problems, you say, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he was saying, I don't know. I think my life is coming to an end. I said, why are you talking like that? He said, look, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand. I said, what is the problem? I said, hold on. Just hold yourself a minute. I said, think about it. I said, has God ever disappointed you in life? He said, no, that's not what I'm saying. I said, that's what I am saying. I said, has God ever done anything good? I said, what you are telling me now is that God has been a failure in your life. God has never done anything good for you. God has been evil. God, he said, no, man of God, you are taking this thing to extreme. I said, no, I'm not taking it to extreme, because if that is it, what I expected you to say, the Lord that delivered me from that accident, he will deliver me again. In fact, when everybody, about three people died beside me inside the same car, I came out of it, no way. I was almost dead 2 years or 3 years ago, and the word of the Lord came through a servant of God, and he healed me. Oh, no way. This one I will get over it. I remember when my landlord gave me quit notice because I didn't pay, and then God provided me. I paid 2 years in advance, to the point I even bought a plot of land. Oh, God, he did it that, and he will do it again. Is that not the way David spoke of his faith? He said, who are you? You are not as dangerous as a lion. You are not as dangerous as wolf and bear that I confronted, and God delivered us into my hand. You, this thing. You build up your faith by focusing on what God did as against what you are seeing. Once you focus on what you are seeing, your faith goes down. Once you focus on what God has done, your faith goes up to face this challenge. Is anybody understanding me?
Yes.
You can receive your healing from anything. You can be delivered from anything. If you can just say, God healed me at this time. God did this for me. God did it. Kai, it's not this one he won't do. In the name of Jesus, I believe God will do it. See, so it was John Wesley who was preaching, and then he was preaching salvation by works. And then the man that was leading him to a deeper understanding of God said, salvation is not by works, it's by faith. He said, but this faith thing, he went to the man, he said, but this faith thing, I've been preaching it and it's not working for me. The man said to him, he said, continue to preach it until you believe it. If you don't understand, I know that at times I've been confessing, I was walking the other day, sometime there was something I was going, I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I said, I believe this. I said, Lord, I said, my head is trying to say it doesn't believe. I said, but I'm not walking with my head, I'm walking with my heart. I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, the reason I said, the other time it was even worse than there. I said, you did. I said, in Jesus' name. I said, you know the conflict. You know, this head has been loaded with information, but in head, I reject your information in Jesus. I was talking. And by so doing, I'm psyching up myself. I'm getting the heart to cooperate. I'm getting the mind to cooperate with the heart. When you remember the things God has done, then it helps you to overcome what he's yet to do. To overcome the fear of what he has not done yet. Is anybody following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Number four. Wrong meditation. Romans chapter 4. Wrong meditation. Romans chapter 4. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not, that is, think about, meditate on, focus on his own body, now dead, When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through faith, through unbelief, please. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Many years ago, his sister asked me, he said, Pastor, I have a question. I said, what's your question? He said, how can God say Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God? Was he somersaulting when he went to sleep with the house girl? Was he somersaulting when he said he did not stagger at the promise of God? I said, he did not. He said, how will you say that, Pastor? I said, he did not. God says he did not. I said, okay, now sister, I would like to ask you. You are filled with the Holy Ghost now. You've been born again for many years, isn't it? You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You are in better disposition than Abraham. You have Jesus in you. The Holy Ghost is in you, isn't it? He says, okay. Now, the Lord is saying to you, stand up, take your face, and go to travel to a place you don't know where. But just enter the vehicle. And the vehicle says, where are you going? You say, anywhere you are going, I'll drop there. When I get to that place, I'll pick the next vehicle. Will you do that? I say, Pastor, God doesn't lead people like that. I say, you see that? God's not going to lead you like that. But he led that man like that, and the man went. And you say he staggered. You thought not staggering, the way God measured not staggering is that you have never done anything wrong before. No. He didn't say he didn't do anything wrong. But he said, as far as the promise of God was concerned, do you know that it was the promise of God that he wanted to help to come to pass that made him sleep with the house girl?
Yes.
Okay, maybe you didn't see that before. God already said you have a child, and he said, this child, God said, now, since he didn't particularly, because if you read until you get to chapter 18, he did not say through your wife. Until you get to chapter 18. So it could be through the house girl. And that's why when God said, oh, say that with you, he said, no, Lord, you promised a son, and the son Ishmael has come. Let's do everything we plan, everything you say. I will hand it over to him, let him come to pass. It was still that promise he was pursuing that made him go there and did the extracurricular activity. You did not hear me say anything. It was the promise he was following that led him to that point. So you do not, you see, it. You may say God said he did not stagger.
Yes.
For he considered not. So, what is one of the keys here? What is it that helped this man here? He did not meditate on. He did not consider. So whatever you don't consider, you don't know how it works. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some years ago, I went somewhere, and there was this woman, because the woman had made some advances to me, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I didn't want to. And then they brought drinks. And then, you know, I don't know, I don't go to parties, and I have forgotten about it years. So I don't know how they do it anymore. You ask me, I don't know. And so she now gave me drink, another thing, and then she said, cheers. I didn't know what to do. I said, thank you very much, ma. I said, thank you very much, ma. She said, cheers. I said, thank you very much. I called her and I said, thank you very much. When I got back, I told some my leader, I said, somebody said like this. I said, I don't know whether my response was appropriate. I said, did he say, this pastor, you will kill us one day. You'll be bushman. He said, no. Please, pastor, when somebody say cheers, next time you two will get, I said, oh, me, I'll say cheers. See, when I tell people I'm not a social person, they don't believe it. But somebody told me one day, he said, Pastor, it's not that you're not a social person. He said, you kill that aspect of you. I don't want to be sensitive to that social life. I know where it can land me. So deliberately, I took away my social life and focused on my spiritual life. So that what defines me is not how much I know the languages outside. It is how much I know God. Because I know I can slip away so fast here. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? And now because I don't do this, I don't even know how to do cheers. It's these days again, I started to learn. They say, cheers. They say, they toast. It's all gone. That was all. The reason is that I just decided that anything that has to do with this, I'm done. I just want to focus on, because I want to be hardened to it, and I became hardened. But I'm not sensitive to the aspect that I'm considering. I recently somebody told me, say, Pastor, we need to see another thing. We need to go for a lunch, and let's go for lunch somewhere so that we can discuss. I said, please, why don't you come and let's meet in the office or come to my house? He said, no, we'll sit over a lunch and we'll discuss. I have important thing to do. We'll go sit down on top of a lunch. I said, if I'm eating, I don't want people to do this. He said, oh no, we'll finish eating. We'll just, I said, that's so devil they take enter. I know they come home. That's so devil they take enter. I know they come home. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just, it isn't, you know, I'm not saying that is what everybody should do. I'm just saying that I decided to become hardened to those things because I didn't focus on them. I focus on, and what I focus on had become the focus of my life. I'm sensitive in those areas. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So, wrong thinking. If Abraham was considering his body, was considering what he was going through, was considering the wife, was considering the deadness of the woman, the promise will never have come to pass. Is anybody understanding? Okay, let's say number 5. We say lack of meditation. When you fail to even think at all on anything, when you fail to meditate, and some of us, our minds are so blank. Do you know what? Television. I have never seen any television that is manufactured without an on and off button. What that says to me is that if you don't on your television, it will not come on. If you spend 4 or 5 hours on television a day, that's what you will meditate on. If you spend how many of us really have gone to bed, you're going to say, I had bad dreams, I had some nightmare last night, or some dreams I don't really understand. Because you watch all this horror movie before you go to bed. If the last thing that goes into your soul that day, because the eyes are the window to your soul, if the last thing that goes into are those negative things, that's what you're going to dream about. You can purify your dreams by meditating on the right thing. You can dream of heaven. You can dream of the mind of God. You can dream of great things by focusing on the right thing and meditating on the right thing. Meditation is as important as reading the Bible. In fact, more important, because revelation will only come after you meditate on what you have read. Is anybody understanding me? I gave you an illustration now. How I was meditating on, I read that story. I said, this man is so audacious. How could you doubt God? How could you open your mouth and say, even if God opened the window, and then the Holy Spirit just picked me on that meditation and said, what about you? You are just one. I said, me, I'm different. God forbid. I will never say that kind of thing. Okay. If I tell you by this time tomorrow, you're going to become a multi-billionaire, you own your house, you own this, you own this, and you'll be this, what will you do? Then instantly I knew that I also had so much unbelief that I was wrestling with in my life. Meditation will bring those things out for you. Number 6, repeated disobedience. We mentioned it before. Once you repeat disobedience, you repeat it over and again. It does not repeat anymore. You are no longer sensitive to it. Let me ask you a simple question that every child of God can relate with. How many of you ever went to bed and asked God to wake you for prayer by 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock midnight? And then you woke up that day, you say, Lord, please, wake me again by 3 o'clock. You went back to bed. And don't look at me somehow in a funny way, because it's because I've been through it. That's why I'm asking you now. And then God woke you up. Now, instead of waking you up by 3 o'clock, he wakes you by 3:30 or 4. And you say, Lord, I'm sorry that I had to delay him. In the name of you, you say, okay, Lord, by 6 o'clock, I will be serious at that time. Then you sleep and woke up by 7 o'clock. Did you ever feel that? How many of us also, the following day you now ask the Lord, please Lord, I'm sorry for what happened yesterday, wake me up by 3 o'clock. You didn't wake up until 5 o'clock. Yes. Did it ever happen to you? Then, at the time you now say, Lord, wake me up. He allows you to even wait until 7:30 and you are still snoring. The reason that happens is simply because you are becoming hardened in disobedience. You are becoming hardened in disobedience. And number 7, multiplied activities. Let's see Hebrews chapter 11 verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they may have had opportunity to have returned. If indeed they had been, Hebrew Names version says, if indeed they had been thinking of that country from which they came out, they would have had enough time to return. What is mindful? Having your mind full. Those are two words, mindful. So, If they were mindful, whenever your mind is full of certain things, they can harden you or they can make you sensitive to that thing. I gave you an illustration. Why are you sensitive to Man United? Do you know one of my brothers who is in Deeper Life? I did not know that Deeper Life used to work football at that time. We were in his office one day, and then he was listening. He said, I saw him buy Complete Sport. And he was listening. I said, bros, do you read these things? And even on the internet, it was in Google, the Google, and they check out their names. And so I said, bros, do you work this? He said, in fact, I know all the international matches that is ahead. I know all the names of all the foreign players. I know how much each of them earns. I know all their coaches. And I said, bro, you are not deep. You are no longer deep. Do you know that if you ask me for one coach's name of anybody I know, something's yes here in Nigeria, that one I know, that one, because they made so much noise about it, so I heard it. Then there is one in UK, I don't really, Wenger. Is it Wenger? Be Wenger or Wenger? Okay, hey. Is a player or coach or somebody? I know somebody, Ferguson. Is it Ferguson or Ferguson? Alex or something. I think that is a coach also. You should credit me for that. And this is, there's another one, special one. They call it, they say his name is special one. Mourinho. I think I tried. And I don't know anything. And the reason I get to know this is, well, everywhere they will say, in fact, sometimes you want to buy a filling station, he say, wallah, if you see what Mourinho did, they say, you're fired. He just substituted. And you, I say, okay, put fire for this car, let me go. You see him doing that because they become so sensitive. That same person, you say, what is the memory verse of our Sunday school? He say, Pastor, say, you see, I'm sorry I couldn't go by it because I... Because you have developed, when you fill your heart, your mind with, when your mind is full of activities. He says, if they have been mindful, they will have opportunity to return. Whatever your mind is full of is what you are sensitive to. Whatever your mind is not focused on, not filled with, you will not be sensitive to it. Alright? Okay, so we can now quickly look at the cures now. Alright? Let's see cure for hardening heart. But there's not one another daily why it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then Hosea chapter 10 verse 2, verse 12, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Do what? Say it again. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now this word, fallow ground, is the word, is an agricultural word, fallow. You know what it means? This is what it means. When a farmer have been, there's this what you call crop rotation. Then when you be used to planting yam, here you planted yam for twice. Now if you grew up in the farm, in the village like I do, this is what our parents will do. Once they cultivate heaps here, next year when they go to cultivate heaps, they take part of this heap and part of this other one to make a new one next year. Is that what they do? They don't cultivate the same heap anymore. They take a part of the old one here, part of them to form a new one, part of this old one. They do that so that the soil is, you know, now rotated and new nutrients come. But after they do that the second year, they leave that place, they can plant corn and okra there and they will leave and go to plant yam in the other side. And then they cannot leave this place fallow, maybe for 3 years or 4 years. Then when they come next time, it becomes fallow. You break it up. You now cultivate it afresh again. That's why you go to some places, you see the heaps that were very high, has become very low. So you now, it becomes fallow after 4 or 5 years, then you cultivate again, break it up. When you plant anything there, it will blow some. New nutrients will, you know, the manure and nutrients will come up and it will blow some. He says we need to break our fallow ground. Number one step to recovering from a hardened heart is decongest your mind. Decongest your mind of those cares and focus on God and His Word. Decongest your mind and focus on God and His Word. Take away all the excesses in your heart. Take away all the excesses. All of the things that your mind has been full of, take those things away. And begin to focus on the things that God is saying to you. See? The whole tradition of waking up in the morning and reading the Bible is sweet. It's something you shouldn't just get away from. In my house, I don't know, I don't think we even taught our children that way. But it's just an unwritten rule. You don't even greet people in the morning until you have read the Bible. I don't know. If you talk to any of our children, say, "Oh boy," he says, "I'm coming, I've not read my Bible." You just leave them alone. If you called and maybe until after the family devotion, it's at the family devotion we say, "Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am." Hey, everybody greets each other after family devotion. Nobody greets anybody before then. I don't think we taught them, madam. I don't think we taught them. But it just happens that it's just a tradition, as it were, that the Word of God must come in first. It is a good thing to do. You need to begin to focus on what is important in your life. Number two, we're talking about give attention to spiritual matters. See, we just talked about football. You have to watch it. You have to watch football to be sensitive to those things. The same thing, you need to listen to the Word of God. And these days, you have no excuse. There are Bible readings on DVDs, Bible reading on CDs, Bible reading on tapes. There are different translations. You can have them. Even on telephones, you can have Bible reading on your phone. You have Bible on iPad. You have it on iPod. You have on telephone. You have Bible there. Anywhere you are, you can put in your car. You can put in your disc, buy DVD, buy CD. Just load your system with the Word. Surround yourself with the Word. Wherever you go, just put it. Listen to it. Listen to it. I have audio Bible. Sometimes I'm going in the car. I put the tape there. If the tape is listening, I come down. I put it on my iPad. I'm listening to it. I said, I'm just conversing there. He said, "But why are you always listening?" I said, "I just want to surround myself with what I believe is important, so that I have the appropriate thing to meditate on. Because garbage in, garbage out. If you don't put anything in, nothing will come out. And if you load your system with television programs and horror movies and blue and black movies or whatever, that's all that you're going to get. That's all they're going to get." Somebody was talking yesterday, and she said, "Dad, give me black. Is it what do you call Magic World? Have you Magic something station? You have Africa Magic. Is there this?" And then once you give it to her, you solve all her problems. No wahala again. So, and then, and I said, "What are they doing now?" He said, "This one, you know, they were married, they were boyfriend before when they were in secondary school, they now met in Port Harcourt, and you know the story, and they look at." I said, "It's well with you. I am on my way." I said, "Even those who wrote this script, they know they can't, I can't donate 1 hour for them. I don't have that 1 hour. I can't donate it for them. Because all they're doing is think the way I think. And I prefer they think the way I think. I don't want to think the way they think. By scripting those things, I have a better movie I can bring for them." Amen. And then we can go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's quickly take that. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run ye that may have profit. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest my enemies, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What does that mean? Make sure you give attention to spiritual matters. Focus. Be properly focused. Number three, exhort yourself and others. In Jude verse 20, it says, "Build up your most holy faith." Do what? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Today I noticed that I asked a sister the other day, and I said, "Sister, are you filled with the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Yes." I said, "When last did you speak in tongues?" He said, "I know they even remember self." So what's the use of that man? He's supposed to be your helper. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't know why 30 minutes of your day is not spent in speaking in tongues. I don't know why, of all the prayer you pray every day, you do not begin with speaking in tongues. I don't know why you can't, if you pray for 2 hours a day, I don't know 1 hour is, why 1 hour is not in tongues. Because that's the man that will help you to pray. Tongues, building up your faith, edify yourself, edify others, share your mind with others, let others edify you. I told some minister yesterday, I said, you don't know how you bless me. I said, just come in around me, just transform me, just bless me. Your presence is a blessing to me. And we were sharing a lot of things. I said, I'm just sharing my life with you. And they say, oh, by sharing your life with us, you don't know how much you are blessing us too. Exhort one another. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edified himself, but he that prophesied edifies the church. Well, I will edify the church when I'm going to preach, but when I speak in tongues, I like to edify myself. Amen. And then, number four, read, study, and meditate on the word of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and so that you may observe to do all things that Moses my servant has commanded you. So that then, he said, then, don't turn from right to left, then you make your way prosperous. Hear the way the Message translation put it, say, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, to do that, and as modern, and then, see, it says, give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure to carry it out, the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you are going. You only get to where you are going when you focus on this. This is the last thing I'm going to share with you, and then I will give you two keys and we'll go. This is conscience. This is how our conscience runs. Do you see this diagram? It looks like this is how our conscience is. 100% conscience is extremely sensitive. It has a short account with God and man. It has a very high alarm before anything negative happens. This place, you can't get him to compromise no matter what you do. And then whenever he says no here, it's no. He never compromises. That is 100% sensitive conscience. It's sensitive in every area. I don't know how many of us are there already. But this man is not very sensitive to Man United. I can assure you that. This man is sensitive to the word of God. He's sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He's sensitive to the voice of God. He's very, very sensitive. This man, every area of his life, he's extremely sensitive. This man here. Here is the second man. This man, God is still working on him, but 30% of him is dull. Like the disciples, he's dull, 30%. Maybe he's dull in supernatural, maybe he's dull. So this is what happens to him. He has a very high alarm. No comes before compromise. He said, no. I beg, I'm not in that mood. I beg. Don't get those things. No. But then, somehow, it may happen due to his failure. Maybe somewhere, something happens or whatever, some weakness sets in, and then he goes into, please, you can come over here, just sit here. Alright? So, he runs into trouble, and then he has some challenges, and then he finds himself falling here. But this is one thing he does. He will never have carry over. Not to the following day. He will settle all his debts. If for any reason he compromised or anything happens negative here, he's not sensitive enough and God rebukes him and he gets to understand, he will make sure there is no carry over. He will settle it immediately. This man's conscience is very much alive. He's 70% alive. Some of us are here. Maybe. And God is trying to deal with the 30% of our own beliefs and faithlessness. Here is 50-50 conscience. This man, you could say no, but the no could become yes, depending on circumstances. Say no, please, no. Then you say, come on now, what is the pressure? Okay, if you insist. 50% is 50% go, 50% go, and then you find it's weak, it's hot, it's just 50% hot. Then the alarm is loud before, But when finally the deed is done, the alarm is loud again. He said, but I told you. He said, yes, Lord, but I even asked you to help me. Why did you allow me to fall? You put it on God. And then this man is good and repentant because he still wants to maintain some sensitivity. He's falling and rising. You find him always repenting. Can you relate to where your own is? Then there is this one. His own conscience is 70% minus. He has plus 30. He's only sensitive in 30% area. This man, some of these guys are Man U fans and Arsenal fans. They hardly consider the world. They hardly, most of them, I remember a brother, I told him, I said, bro, he said, there will be Bible study. I said, even God will forgive me because our team is playing today. Now, the man had determined here that I know it, the answer should be no. But I'm going to say yes, depending on circumstances, because our team is playing. And I can't create time for God that day. Now, this man is 70% dead. The alarm is very low to compromise. He has a low alarm to compromise. Because the answer to compromise is a lot more yes than it is no. This one, very often, he commits the thing. He does the wrong thing, he disobeys, he acts wrongly first before he feels bad. He seldom feels bad before he starts. Here, he will feel bad, he will be checking himself, the no will be there, the sensitivity, the spirit will be there, be warning him. But here, he will do it first before he say, yeah, sorry for that thing, Lord, it's just an accident. It don't happen again, I'm sorry. He's remorseful slightly after. But his conscience is very weak. He struggles towards the positive. He's struggling to cross over here. But this man here, everything is almost gone. This is the height of a sinful heart. This is an unbeliever at best. There's no child of God who is here. This is an unbeliever at best. These are not believers at best. The conscience is only activated once in a while. Maybe when certain things, when an evil genius wants to become president of the country again, to correct what he made wrong. And everybody say, no, come on, account for 1993, June 12th, 1993. When those pressure come and press people, television, advert, start bombarding, people start to do talk show on their head. Then the conscience will come back and say, that thing you did, until you apologize to the country, they will never forgive you. That thing, that is when this 10% works. This is the height of an unbelieving heart. The believer who is here is in a bad state. Backsliding is at your doorpost. Backsliding is at your door. The believer who is here is not good enough. The believer must try to move forward. This is the state, this is the stage of our sensitivity and hardness to God. Some of us operate like this when it comes to alcohol. But when it comes to money, you operate like this. Some of us, when it comes to women, you operate like this or like this. But when it comes to gossip, you operate like this or like that. So you see again, in different areas of our lives, some of us operate in this degree or we operate here. But other areas, you operate here. Some of us operate gossip on this low level. The same person who is sensitive to prayer and to want to do what God wants is sensitive to gossip. Is anybody understanding me?
Yes, sir.
We must look into it. It's good you put the diagram on your... This is the stage of sensitivity. I will leave the diagram here when we finish. Now, two simple steps to pick your spiritual signal. Number one, follow the peace. Number two, follow the desire. And I will explain briefly, then we'll go to pray. Now, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know what it says here? The Amplified version of that passage says, let the peace of God be the umpire of your heart. You know when he said let the peace, there's a ruler there. What do we do with ruler? So let the peace of God be the measurement of your heart. In other words, everything you say God is telling me or you want to do, if there is no peace to measure it, don't go into it. God is not there. Is anybody following me? God is not there. If there's no peace, God is not there. When he said, let the peace of God be done, what do umpires do? Umpires, what do they do? Referees. They blow whistle. Let the peace of God be the whistle blower of your life. If that thing does not give you peace, it is not God. And if it gives you peace, but it looks stupid to every human being, so long there is peace, that is it. Follow the peace. Follow the peace. When you say follow peace with all men, check up your heart. Whatever give you peace, follow it. If it doesn't have peace, if you are not at peace with that decision, bust it. And if you are confused about it, talk to somebody. I want you to talk to him and say, how is it in your heart? If there is peace, the whistleblower has blown as a child of God. Once there is peace, that's the right thing. If there's no peace, run away from it. Number two, follow the desire. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your faith. Another translation says, seek happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart desire. Another translation says, seek the face of the Lord, he will make his desires known in your desire. Does that explain what that means? In other words, this is the way it works. If you are praying on a subject, how did I know that we're going to move this meeting from monthly meeting to quarterly meeting? I was presenting some things before the Lord. I said, Lord, what do we do? How do we go? What step do we take? What do we do? And as we were, I was listening, all of a sudden I lost peace about this Saturday meeting. I lost my peace. And I was saying, Lord, what happened? Are you saying we should cancel this Saturday? He said, I'm not saying cancel this Saturday, but cancel the next Saturday. I said, if we cancel, what do we make it 2 Saturdays? He said, no, cancel the next one. I said, okay, so what do you want us to do? You want us to go quarterly? Okay, maybe we think of quarterly. I called the pastor friend. I said, you know what? This is what I'm feeling about this meeting. He said, sir, I think that is right. The reason I'm thinking that is that you have so much that God is putting in your heart, and the people that you have told to come and share something, we are not able to do that because it's only one day. And those who want to travel from other places can't come. So let us make it a 3-day thing so that next time we meet in September, it will be 3 days, and then we can really assess the mind of God. You think I won a lottery? The amount of peace in my heart. That's the way it works. In everything, you have the peace. And then the desire of God will be expressed in your desire. What if you don't like to go to, I have never liked any hustling, bustling area like Abuja or Lagos. I never did. But if tomorrow I wake up and I cannot think of any better place on earth than Lagos, you will know that God has changed my mind. You will know that God's desire is expressed in my desire. So what this passage means is, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will express his desire through your desire. So if your desire is in delighting in the Lord, and you always say, Lord, I have nothing to do that this. I don't have any other thought. I don't have anything. I will never think of anything another. If that is your desire, then he's going to express his desire through your desire. I remember when I got to know the woman I was going to marry, I went to the mountaintop. And after I prayed about 3 hours, all of a sudden, her face, her image dropped before me, and all that. And so I bind her, you know, and I said, this is the devil trying to come, and I bind her and casted her out, you know. And I called my friend the following day, after struggling about 3-4 days to the end of the week. I said, let's go to the mountain. We went to the top of the mountain, very high, so we can be very close to God. So we were on top of the rock there. And we prayed for about 2 hours. Later I told him, I said, I want you to lay hands on me and cast out the spirit of this sister. I said, because that spirit is disturbing me. I said, number one, I'm not thinking of marriage. But this thing is not leaving me. And number two, I don't even like short people. And this person is just close to my shoulder. So it could not have even been God. It could have been the devil. And the devil knew that I'm very prayerful. And he wants to disrupt my prayer life now by bringing this person. And my friend lay hands on me. That's why I started growing bald. Started casting out, pouring all the kind of saliva on my head. Casted out. So when we came down, by evening time, he said, "Hi, about that thing." I said, "This thing didn't go." He said, "My friend, could it be that God wants you to talk to that sister?" He said, "Could it be that God is trying to tell you about the sister?" I said, "Are you also cooperating with the devil?" 3 weeks ago, I think 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I said, 23 years have come and gone. I want to thank you for, I said, the time we did the marriage, I thought you were a carnal person because I used to tell her, I said, everything you just say we should, when are we going to do the marriage? I said, you see, you are not spiritual. I said, the world is dying. And you are talking about, I say, I'm looking for national revival when the whole nation will bow before Jesus Christ. And you are talking about marriage. What are you talking like that? I said, don't let God be angry with you because I have sown my life as a seed to bring revival to Nigeria. I was now thanking her. I said, thank you for not giving up on me. And you insisted that we do that marriage. I said, today when I look back, I have everything to gain. I have nothing to regret. I said, thank you so much. And they say, I don't even, she was just smiling. I said, I want to thank you. I said, I have you to thank. I need to thank God. I need to thank you and thank my sister pastor. Because I complained to him. I said, this sister, I think you should advise her. I said, she doesn't even know that we are praying for revival here. And every time she comes here, she's talking about marriage. I said, can you, my friend said, that my sister pastor, I said, maybe you should think about it. He said, maybe this marriage pastor the revival we are praying for. He said, now you are our pastor, and all the families, all the men here, they say they can't release their wife to pastor. They say, the man, you are good looking, and then you are not married. They say their wife is in the day. I said, you know, so all kinds of things are happening. And then, so I was telling her, I thank you. I thank God, I thank you, and I thank this brother for not giving up, for putting that pressure on me, because by so doing, God's desire was expressed in my desire, and today I have everything to thank God for. The kind of, she's running her PhD today. I have so much book I'm writing, so many books I'm writing. I have so many things doing that if I were to be running around for school runs today, I would have not be able to enjoy it. You know, but by doing it at that time, the children are all in the higher institution. They are at home. I mean, they are away from home. We are marrying each other anew now. We're thinking of things. We're able to do many things God has committed into our hands. And I'm able to say, thank God that God's desire was expressed in my desire. If you give me a tall person, I will not change for this short one I got. And then, incidentally, all our children are taller than me. So you see, when you get a tall man with another tall woman, your children will become electric pole. But if you're an average man, if you're a tall man and a short woman, your children will just be your height, so a little above. But whatever the thing is, God's desire can be expressed in your desire, depending on how we pick our signals here. This is where you should be. This is what you should aim. This is where you should aim as a child of God. Not only here. Here is good. This is good. This is where some of us are, that God is still telling us we have hardness of heart. This is where we all ought to be. These places are not good enough. An average child of God will be here. Others are here. But this is where God wants us to be. Bow your heads and let's pray.